How are you, Andrea?
He said, what are the chances? I say it was pretty good.
Pretty good.
But you know what's very funny is Simintov. I always thought it was the most exotic name in the world, but it's the name Smith in Israel. When we used to have phone books, it was like 8 pages of Simintovs. I thought, what an exotic name. So our last name here is really Smith. There's a lot of us.
Amazing. Andrea, how are things going in Israel? How are you doing, firstly?
Thank God, thank God. It's very cold. Today's a bitter cold day. I'm doing well. I try to be very upbeat. We happen to have had a very rough week here in Israel. We had it was just last week at this time we were speaking and laughing and upbeat and something heinous was going to unfold in the next 12 hours. And on Friday morning, I do not know how much you know in South Africa, the body of a lovely, wonderful young woman was found in the Jerusalem forest.
Yes.
And I will not use, you know, I'm not going to use this platform to say what had been done to
her.
No,
we were aware. Unfortunately, yeah, we were aware.
I don't think that Hollywood couldn't come up with something this heinous. And so it was a rough week. And I have to tell you, as crazy and as rough and as terrible and as bleak as it was, I mean, really, people have trouble breathing. You and suddenly the lack of trust. You know, you know about the neighborhood that I live in. I make a lot of jokes. I really live in a very mixed Jewish Arab neighborhood, and there was such a feeling of ugliness, weighted ugliness in the air. I went for my daily walk, and it was very different. I was exhausted the whole day. Fear weighs. Fear is incapacitating, and fear is something that I generally do not live with.
Yeah, and yet, yeah. Andrea, there were Palestinian groups who came out, and you know, they condemned what happened, which in and of itself is something so positive. How many Israelis thought that they were going to see that happen?
Everybody was, I have to tell you, everybody was extremely moved, and there was indeed a lack of cynicism, which is very un-Israeli, to be not cynical. The only cynical part of those visits were nobody was turned off or angered or suspect of the Arab visitors. What they did not like is that a delegation of Meretz is the left-wing political party here in this country, and they really kind of tied their wagon onto that Palestinian visit, and that was very difficult for people because people would have liked to have seen the Meretz crowd keeping a lower profile. But as far as the Arabs went, I have to tell you, on the other hand, and there always is another hand, everybody was moved. We're going to look for sunshine wherever we can find it. We choose to live here. Nobody here. There's always places to go. We choose to live here for all kinds of ideological reasons, for economic reasons. And I know Simon and I, one day, when I come to South Africa, we'll have ourselves a beer and we'll parse this one out. But one of the things that was, of course, very upsetting is when the police went in to arrest this guy, they put a gag order. We went into Shabbos with a gag order on this crime. And what happened was, for all these Palestinians who paid the visit, and nobody is belittling that, any ray of light, again, is greater, but Palestinians in the villages threw rocks at the police, threw rocks, you know, stoned the cars, made a lot of trouble with them. And I juxtaposed it in my heart, thinking about Jews. I cannot imagine, you know, what would I love to dream that from the minarets, that the voices of the imams would have been screaming out, there is a monster in our midst. Give up this monster. But it's not typical. I know that a Jews would have thrown this guy out, would have handed him to the police with golden forks. So again, we have a long way to go, but there are glimpses of hope. We have a lot going. You know, I have this radio show on Thursday morning, pull up a chair on Israel News Talk Radio. And this morning, I actually had listeners in from Saudi Arabia.
Wow. That's unexpected.
Right. Isn't that like a Gansa, you know, goal? So again, thank you. You know, I'm so happy because I heard you and I heard you, Kathy, saying how you really try to stay informed, and you are informed. It's a responsibility to have these microphones. And if we don't, you know, I like to come on the radio and laugh. I like to come on, have a good time, have a good yuck, but I can't what is it, sugarcoat? Is that the word?
Yeah.
You can't sugarcoat everything because you would know that I was being disingenuous because we know it's Israel.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to talk about it with people who love us and want for us and dream of the same peace that every single Israeli yearns for in our prayers, in our, when we go out. I never met any Israeli who says, golly gee, I hope we have a war this weekend. It's, peace now does not have a monopoly on the prayers for peace.
Andrew, we have a listener who corresponds with us quite a bit, and he sent in a question which I'd like to put to you. He says, Kathy, yeah. how do the people in Israel cope with all the stress and the unexpected each and every day?
Fabulous. Great question. It's a question we ask ourselves. And there is indeed, to be very fair, I mean, he really has glommed in onto something. There's a very high level of anxiety here. When we make fun of Israel, the pushing and the fighting and the road rage, there's a lot of it. However, there's a natural, I don't know if it's because we're Jews, and Jews are just naturally funny. Jews are just naturally, even in our bleakest moments, there's an optimism. I don't know any people who could have endured the 6,000 year history that we have. So I think there is something in our DNA. There are days, dear listener, dear Rachmanistic listener, you know, really it's a compassionate question. It's very rough, but we grab the joy, we grab the laughter, we grab the simcha, and sadly, ironically, Simon, I'm thinking about this, you know, this week's Parsha,
yeah.
Parsha Tetzaveh, they talk about how the oil that you needed to light, the Ner Tamid, this eternal light, has to be pressed olives. Olives make the purest oil, not crushed. And in a sense, it's a metaphor for the people of Israel. When we're pressed and we're tense, the best of us comes out. We're actually good to each other. It's sad that when the world is spitting on us, Israel's the best place to be living. When the world loves us, oy va voy va voy. It's not so glorious here. So you know what? We laugh hard, we eat hard, we love hard, we pray hard. And the other thing, the bottom line, listener, is those of us who live here, every day we get up and we review the rationale, the raison d'être of our lives. And there's an enormous pride living here. And sometimes you got to dig deep down on the bleakest of days. But we find it and it's there. And there's a good reason to be living here. And that's the best I can answer. Love the question.
Speaking about love.
Ah, what a segue. By the way, Simon, I am a Jane Seymour lookalike. Just telling you.
Oh, you weren't supposed to be listening to part one.
Everything. I'm a groupie. Go ahead. Speaking of love. Yeah.
How is Valentine's Day celebrated in Israel? Is it celebrated? I mean, considering that it was named after Saint Valentine, who was a vicious anti-Semite.
Yeah, but you know what? Like everything.
The irony.
Like Valentine's Day is just bad. It's just bad. In Tel Aviv, you know, they make a big deal. Tel Aviv, you know, they try to be very, very ultra, but they're just bad at it. Like Christmas here is just bad. You know, it's like they hang up these decorations, but like they don't want to make it too guyish. So, you know, it's like sort of like this Christmas-ish winter solstice stuff that nobody really knows what it is. So Valentine's Day, you go to Tel Aviv and they do like all the lacy things, the lacy underwear and the strawberries dipped in chocolate. But in Jerusalem, it's the worst. The worst. I went to my husband, my South African husband, who's going to remain nameless on this show, grew up from like all you Litvaks there, right? And so I go in there, like I kiss his bald head and I say, Happy Valentine's Day. Because even though it's after St. Valentine's, I'm an Orthodox Jew. Any opportunity for this Jewish woman to get a present, I'm going to try, right?
Right.
And I say to him, Happy Valentine's Day. I have a romantic dinner for you, please. And then I realize a romantic dinner for this Yid is going to be like corned beef and cabbage and a cream soda. You know? It's not going to be. Strawberries, foie gras, and champagne, like versus dust. You know, so it's the worst. Like I told you, I have like bad missionaries in this building. Valentine's Day is a bad celebration. We celebrate Tu B'Av. That comes out, I think it's like the 16th of August. That's the Jewish Valentine's Day, Lahavdil, Lahavdil, where maidens would go out. It was like sort of our Sadie Hawkins Day. We would get to pick the man. that kind of thing. It was a harvest holiday. Valentine's Day, completely manufactured, painful, agonizing, really.
It's not just Valentine's Day. I recall from my days in Israel, a whole bunch of events are not quite the same. New Year's, for one. I mean, that's a bit of a non-event in Israel as well, isn't it?
Yeah, Sylvester.
The worst. Not the worst, but you have to go to Tel Aviv to have anything. And they're just bad at it. They're just bad. You know, just... It's just bad. First of all, New Year's Day is a work day here.
Yes, exactly.
It's a work day. Yeah. And like, I'm the only person who's going around trying to be festive. I made a birthday party for a friend of mine in my house like 2 weeks ago. The balloons are still up because I just want to keep it Lebedick. I want to keep it fun. It's not fun. They don't do holidays. Everything here is kind of bleak. You know, our holidays are bleak. Our music is bleak. Everything minor key, you know? So
whoa, that's so calling it like it is.
You hear the hot tikva. No, not Lebedick, not fun. Valentine's Day.
No, as Jews, we don't really specialize in fun, do we? That's like not our shtick.
Right, so Israelis are fun because it's not like ghetto Jewish. They're fun, but like they're annoying, so... Yeah. You know, Valentine's Day. What kind of underwear are you going to sell in Jerusalem? You know,
I don't know. But let me say something. If love is blind, why is underwear? Why is lingerie so popular? I'll leave you there to think about that, Andrea. And we wish you a Shabbat Shalom. We got to go. We've got to get to news. But thank you so much, and we look forward to speaking to you next week.
Happy Valentine's Day and Shabbat Shalom.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye. That's Andrea Simontov, Israeli personality and talk show host on Israel News Talk Radio.